What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 18th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Kent Brockman from The Simpsons. Yes, Kent Emanuel. You probably don't know him. That's because, oh my gosh, his story is ridiculous. Like, drafted by the Astros in 2013, and then finally made his debut in 2021, only to get elbow surgery about a month later. Then he pitched in the minors for the Phillies and Pirates. He returned to the majors in 2024, where the Marlins jostled him around from the minors to the majors and optioning him back and forth five times, including two TFAs before the end of the season. Okay. Then he went to the Atlantic League twice. He went to the Atlantic League, then the Mexican League, then returned to the Atlantic League at the start of this year until the Reds signed him a week ago for one AAA start, and then was there for the doubleheader on Monday against the Cardinals. 13 years after he was drafted. Unbelievable. And I gotta just say right now, I think we do not give enough love to those who have just struggled, who have been fighting for every single opportunity to stay in this game and who can do any good for any team, right? It is not easy to be a major league pitcher. It is such a small percentage of people who are capable of it. And so many give up in this time. Huge props to Kent Emanuel. I'm so happy you had this moment. And look, he wasn't bad. He earned the gold star. He went 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. He got the loss, but he put his team in a situation to win. And there are a lot of times that line would be a win for someone like Kent here. Now, it was a bad home park. He allowed 2 runs in the first inning. I understand. I mean, come on, the jitters, unreal. But he settled down. And he had a 4-way split almost all the way through. I mean, it was about 21 to 28% between sinkers, sweepers, changeup, and sliders from the left side. As a southpaw, it was about 90 miles per hour. We should probably expect for an 89. It's a crafty vet southpaw, right? Not quite a swatch because there isn't a 4-seamer up, but the changeup was a big deal for him. We got some really bad swings. I mean, I saw Jordan Walker just flail at one of them away. We have a cutter at 85-86 that was classified as a slider. It's a cutter. It jammed right-handers well. I mean, think about it, guys. 85-86 for your slider with an 89-90 mile per hour fastball, not like 93. Yeah, that is a cutter. The sinker found some outs. I mean, it's cool. It's cool to see this. I can absolutely see a world where Kent Emanuel, as the extra man for this doubleheader, returns again for the Reds in the future, as he's pretty much the SP6 for the Reds now. And yeah, maybe it's a good matchup. Maybe it's something where he's going against a Angels team on the road or something along those lines where he can really lean into that changeup. We didn't really see too much against the lefties. It wasn't very impressive against lefties for what we saw. He didn't really have like an amazing out pitch down and away that we want to see. But if he does face a lot of right-handers, I think the changeup is his best offering. And hopefully we do see that. Also, I hope we do see some sort of four-seamer up. Not as necessarily the main thing, but it should be there at least for eye level to really help out that changeup moving forward. Anyway, that's Kent Emanuel. I'm really happy for him. Nolan McClain had a win, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 4 walks, 3 Ks. If you didn't know this, if you didn't follow it at all, unreal that he had 4 of his first 6 outs in the first 2 innings were at home plate. We're talking about a comebacker to the mound, sure, throwing home for an out. Okay. 2 putouts by Carson Benj in the first inning, as they tried to score on a single from second twice. And then a third time, now in left field, in the second inning. Unreal. Yeah, that's the plan. Get them on base and then get them out at home. Duh. This is not Nolan McClain at his peak. And it's kind of funny to me how he's been very successful for your teams. And yet, this is not a McClain that I can really hang my hat on. I mean, look, 10 base runners in 6 innings, 3 strikeouts. He put himself in these positions to allow more runs, and was just 1 run because they kept getting out at home. I really hope Nolan McClain finds it. I think that the way he's pitched, it's not a guarantee he's going to be productive for the next 6 weeks. It's why I've been so doom and gloom with him. At the same time, it hasn't been there yet, and he's treading water while he tries to figure out how to have this consistent approach. I don't know what to think for next year. I feel like I could be more in than I should because I'm wish casting that he figures it out. At the same time, generally pitchers do make some tweaks as they get older, and it could be a year, 2 years, whatever it is. I do think that Nolan McLean eventually does. We'll have that conversation next year. I mean, look, we didn't know if Gavin Williams was going to figure it out, and he did, right? But I thought he was going to figure it out last year, and it wasn't quite that. It was like this, maybe for the second half and not the first. Okay. Christopher Sanchez against the Marlins got the win, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. This was not peak Sanchez, and he hasn't been for a little bit. The changeup, about 50% strikes across, what, the last like 5-6 games? This one was, again, 50% strikes. And not at 96. That is peak Christopher Sanchez. Look, we'll even take like 95 and change. He was right at 94. Productive. Got a win. 1 earned run. 6 Ks. 11 base runners. And yikes. Right? Like, it is not a good whip. This has been my biggest fear of Christopher Sanchez this season. And it's very annoying. It should be better. Just get more strikes to the changeup. I think everything will be all right if that happens. I was a little bit fearful of Blake Snell going into Coors as well. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks, which is great. And if you remember, he had a quote about pitching in Salt Lake City, and I was like, oh, right, you are probably not going to be that good in Coors. Also, we've seen a lot of guys who have one really good start in the still ill and then are not good in the second one. So it's just something to consider at least. And I'm happy this went well. He had a beautiful slider down and away to lefties. I mean, it was 5 for 11 whiffs, which is just absolutely insane. It was just incredible. So yeah, it is hot Snell summer. I feel like one or two more and he has aces gonna ace. This is just what we see from him. Brian Bello was my streaming pick of the day. And even though he went 4.2 innings, I get a streaming victory because he wasn't the opener. He was the follower. So he got a win. 4.2 innings, a 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. We will take that all day. It's lovely. It's as simple as, does he have an opener? If he does, we go with him and he would get the Yankees on Saturday. I hope he has an opener there. It's really, that's it. Quinn Matthews was like Kent Emmanuel in that he was called up as the sixth guy or the extra man for the Cardinals in this doubleheader. And he's also considered as the number 6 starting pitcher for the Cardinals right now. And it was 4 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 3 walks, 7 Ks. In 95 pitches, and honestly, I see that line, and I'm a little surprised that it took 95 pitches to get through that, because traditionally, we see more than 5 base runners for 95 pitches in 4 frames, and it was an inefficient outing. He had 100% right-handers, and they tested the changeup, and I gotta say, I was so down on Matthews because his high strikeout rates in the minors were so heavily dependent on the slider against lefties. And his changeup was not performing well in the minors. It had low strike rates, low swing strike rates. It was not doing what we want to see. It was unreal. I don't think I've seen such good changeup command in a long time to right-handers. And I don't think I saw a single right-hander leak up at all. And it was all just down perfectly, down and away. Which meant that it had a 27% swing strike rate at 23% usage. Honestly, I think he should have thrown it more. I really, really do. I think he would have gone through this easier because the slider wasn't very good at 86 as a gyro meh, and the curveball was flipped in here and there, but not really an effective offering. So that leaves the four-seamer to do most of the work. And that four-seamer for Quinn Matthews, it can be good. It is a flat 1.5 height-adjusted VAA at 93-94. The movement is fine. I mean, I think it's good. It's not exceptional. And if he's able to actually leave it upstairs, that's great. He doesn't always do that. He went too far up or a little bit too far down. But really, I see a legit swatch here. I really do. I'm excited for Quinn Matthews when he comes back and actually gets routine starts. It might not be great right away, but I do believe that if Quinn Matthews leans on the slider to lefties and leans on the changeup to righties and really showcases them at least 35% respectively to their to lefties versus and righties, then I think we've got something here. So throw in the Busch Stadium situation. I'm back in on the Quinn Matthews train. I do also want to mention, by the way, how am I getting all of this data so easily on these pitchers? No, I'm not just like going on Baseball Savant and scouring through all the different pages. No, I'm not doing this via Fangraphs. I'm doing it with my own dashboard that I made for myself that you guys now actually can use. It is the most comprehensive research tool for pitchers that you will find anywhere on the internet. I've made it again for me to give me the things that I actually needed. Every single idea that I had, from looking at their next three starts to arm angle to being able to select multiple dates of their game log and see individual pitch types and their changes and movements between them, getting a totals row at the bottom, getting a velocity trend inside of every start by inning. There's so many unbelievable things inside of it. Play-by-play of every single pitch. Tooltips that show you the exact location and situation and numbers of every single pitch. It is a game changer for me. And if you are any sort of pitching nerd and want to get ahead of these things, this is a live dashboard. This isn't the next day. This is something that I use to replace my Baseball Savant game feeds. You get it as a member of PL Pro right now. It is live. So go check it out. If you have PL Pro right now, it is up and running. If you don't have PL Pro, we are doing a limited promotion, 20% off PL Pro yearly, not 10, not 15%, 20% to get PL Pro yearly with promo code live dashboard. You got to do it now. I can't express enough. This is a game changer. Truly, and if I have a guide built into it, I have a guide that tells you what all of these things are as well, so that you can learn this, you can understand how to do these things before I write my article, before I do the podcast. If you're curious about a pitcher, here, go look them up. And guess what? I've actually built one for myself for the minor leagues as well, and we are working already to get that into the pro dashboard. And when you sign for yearly, it is not for the end of the year. It is one full year, 365 days. So if you sign up now, you get all of our off-season stuff, like our live draft assistant, our draft guide, all of these things as well for next year too. So you got to do it. Really, it's the number one way to support us. We have the lockout coming. Please consider doing this. And we are just building more and more and more without increasing the costs. So go get PL Pro yearly today, pitchers.com/premium. Get 20% off with promo code live dashboard. All right, moving forward, Walker Buehler pitched well. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He got the loss against the Mets, yes, but that's another game of Walker Buehler going 6 innings in a row here. Now, he's also not really going to get the same good graces from Koufax. He earned 13 outs on 15 balls in play. And I've talked about Buehler as just the guy that is the textbook. He is someone who has the things. Like, yes, this is a cutter. Yes, this is a fastball. And I call them Teemu-branded secondaries, right? I'm not really into this for fantasy. I am so in adoration, you know, I love this. I love that Walker Buehler is finding a way to get through games as a major league pitcher. For your fantasy teams, I cannot tell you that this is going to keep going, right? I really, really can't. It's also been a lot of under 5 inning games. We also have Jansen Junk against the Phillies. 5 innings, 2 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. It's nice to see that the Marlins let him go long enough for at least 5 frames, but yeah, he hasn't held a 10% swing strike rate or higher since May 4th. Oh my gosh. That's absolutely bonkers. Maybe he just had the wise words of Obi-Wan in his head in that day and that was it. But I cannot endorse Jansen Junk. Also, he was like 1 to 2 ticks lower in his velocity with less vert on the four-seamer. Yeah, I can't do it, even though it's the Nationals. That's a really nice matchup right now. And Bailey Ober, 4.1 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. He allowed both of those runs also on his final pitch in the 5th inning. It was a very bad 2-1 four-seamer down the pipe to Acuna, who hit both runs in on a single. I also don't understand why Atlanta couldn't touch him for 4 frames before it. I really, really don't. And I would not want to trust Bailey Ober in the slightest. We have other guys to talk about. Luis Castillo, Shane McClanahan's return. Shota Minaga. Oh, Framber Valdez, are we still holding on to that? What happened there to Brandon Young? We're going to talk about all of that and more after this break. Shota Imanaga went against his crosstown rival, the White Sox. 6 innings, 3 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts, 20 whiffs, 39% CSW. That is a golden goal. And yes, a poor quality start because of 3 runs and 6 innings. It was a 3-run shot to start the 4th inning. That was it. It's like he just had one momentary blip with 3 of the 5 base runners all coming in on that home run. and then two base runners elsewise, right? Like, it just removed that from the game because it's essentially six innings without it, right? I know that's a weird way of thinking about this, but yeah, it was great. He's at 91, 92. He's not at 90.4, which is really, really important. We needed this one. 15 over 32 whiffs on his splitter is crazy. I wish it was 16 because the three-run shot was on a splitter down and away. Not the best splitter, a little bit of a hanger, so fine, whatever. But yeah, we're good with Imanaga. I'm so happy he has his redemption start. And we saw Luis Castillo have a redemption start last time out, but on the other side of this game against Imanaga, it was not. 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And look, that game against the Reds for Luis Castillo, unreal, 10 Ks, all that stuff. It was the only game above 5 strikeouts since May 25th. And only the second of the season above 6 strikeouts, which includes the 7 punchouts of the first game of the season on March 30th. So think about this. One game of 7 strikeouts all year, save for that one against the Reds where he struck out 10. I cannot emphasize enough, you do not want to be rostering Luis Castillo unless you're in deep AL-only league or you're really desperate for a quality start, because obviously the White Sox are going to push him in these games here. You have Shane McClanahan against the Orioles. He was really frustrated that he left this one in the fourth inning. 3.1 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. It was not because of injury. It was because it was a still ill. He was coming back, and yeah, it was about 2 weeks on the IL, but the Rays were very cautious with this. He also struck out the last batter he faced, and 57 pitches. This wasn't, though, the best version of Shane McClanahan. We did get some 95, 96, which is good. We didn't get 94. We want to see that 96 plus, really, but that's fine. It might be lower because we have the higher pitch count moving forward, which is generally more pitches equals lower average velocity. So if we get 70 to 80 pitches in Camden next time out, it might not be 95, 96. It might be 94, 95. And still, the changeup was not well located. The fastball was pretty much down the pipe. The slider was doing whatever it wanted. This wasn't peak McClanahan. So I am a little worried that he might not pull it off against the Orioles again in a second start in a row in Camden. No, there is no effect. There's no correlation, all that kind of stuff, guys, about starting a pitcher a second time. And I don't know. I think I'm going to do it if I have Shane McClanahan because he will be stretched out enough. But I wasn't very encouraged by this one. Mitch Bratt against the Red Sox in Fenway. 3 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 0 Ks. Yeah. I know he had like those two games that were really good and everyone wanted him to be higher ranked, but this is why. He has not had a double digit whiff game yet. The 9 strikeout game had 8 whiffs. The next game where he had, I think it was 4 strikeouts, had 8 whiffs. This one, 1 whiff in 65 pitches. Ooh. Rhett Lauder against the Cardinals. I did get an email from somebody saying that I was looking at Rhett Lauder wrong, saying that he's bad on the road and good at home. And I just want to be very public about this. I do not like home road splits. I think it is a product of random grouping, where if you take 10 games or 14 games and you just randomly shove them into two piles, it's very likely that you're not going to have the exact even number of distribution to create the same ERAs, right? And when you have like 3 games that are really your bad games, and by the way, one of them was Coors, one of them was Pittsburgh, and I think one was the Yankees. Maybe there's a fourth one too. All those happen to be away, totally. But I am not going to just say that he's good at this terrible home park. And this was 6.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks for Rhett Lauder. Now, he almost had a quality start though, but there was a 2-out single for his 4th run in the 6th inning. So it would have been, you know, 6 innings of 300 runs at that point. And at least he did show up for the 7th, getting a strikeout and an out to make it a little bit better. It's kind of a walk-a though. You don't get a win. You don't get a quality start. You don't get a good whip. You don't get a good ERA. You get 5 strikeouts. And he gets Arizona, in Arizona at least next. That's actually, they're doing okay right now. So I think I'm going to pass on Rhett Lauder there. But he is someone to consider as a streaming option. And I really implore you guys to not focus on home road splits for the most part. It's kind of rare for those to actually be a thing. Park factors matter a whole lot more. Can talk to Derek Cardi about that one. Andre Pallante against the Reds on the other side of the ball. 6 innings, 4 runs, 10 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. He was singled out, and mostly, and then there was a 6th where he allowed 3 to score in that 6th frame. So it was a bit of a careful Icarus there, fine. But, I mean, he just threw a lot of pitches over the plate. Like, he kind of deserved to allow a lot of hits here. It could go better in Philly or against the Pirates if you want to do that. Sure, I just think that this is kind of the Andre Pallante that I expect. Framber Valdez has had a terrible season. And I've seen in the past that he has these, like, I don't know, month or two stretches, 6 week stretches that are just incredible, that fixes the struggles of the 24 other weeks of the season, 20 weeks of the season. And we haven't seen it yet. I don't know if we'll get there. This was a win at least. Yay. But 5.2 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks and 5 Ks for Framber Valdez. And he's just lost. Like, I don't have faith that he's going to get there. The curveball has been so inconsistent the entire season. I don't think that the Tigers are helping him. So I am not saying that the Tigers are bad. I just feel like it's not a match, clearly, because he hasn't made any adjustments that are worthwhile. You have Michael Wacha against the Athletics, 5 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Yes, he's been a Vargas role the entire year. You might be scared now to start him moving forward, but it's the Tigers and at Cleveland and Miami next. You got to hold for that. And it was a 90% strike rate for Michael Wacha on his changeup with a 41% on his four-seamer. It's normally much more balanced than that, and that allows him to get away with games more often. It's too bad, though, because it was 3 home runs that did all the damage. It was 4 runs right in 5 innings, hosting the Athletics in Kansas City. It's too bad. You have Martin Perez, who has been a very good, cheap win guy lately. I mean, he's been excellent. Had a really bad first inning. And it led to 5 innings, 4 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. But all of those runs were during that bamboozling of the first frame. He had 2 walks and then 2 doubles and 2 singles. The Twins cashed in all of them for a 4-run frame of 4 of the 6. And that's it. So I give him props for going 4 shutout after that with 5 base runners. Okay. It'd be nice if he did that deep breath before the first inning. But now he gets at Milwaukee, Rocky Road, and at Washington. And maybe I don't necessarily want it for the Brewers. I want to see that he's okay. But honestly, I feel like he's still good in the 15-teamer for those three. I would consider at least one win, if not two, in that stretch for Martin Perez. Brandon Young against the Rays, 4 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. I was really looking forward to this because I was thinking, oh man, Brandon Young in the trop, 19 to 20 inches of vert on that fastball is going to get that boost on it. It's going to be much better. And he did get that. That's what we saw, which is awesome. But the Rays took it for a ride. And I don't know why he abandoned the splitter. Like, I know he threw 5 of them and he didn't have a good feel for it. And maybe he felt that in the bullpen, but we didn't see it until the 3rd inning. You know, it's a little different if you throw like 3 in the first and all of them are terrible, so you try something else. But Brandon Young thrives against lefties with 4 seamers and splitters, and that's kind of weird to me. It's still a good 4 seamer, and I didn't really hate it here. I think, you know, you're going to allow 3 home runs, and that's going to happen at times. And you're not going to have your splitter for whatever reason. He's going to get them again in Camden. It could work there too. Like, it could be much better there. I don't know. Carmen Muljinski, 3 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks, and 59 pitches. You don't want to do Muljinski. It's too bad. Tomoyuki Sugano against the Dodgers, 5 innings, 6 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Unfortunately, he didn't get his 13th win, but it was the Dodgers in course, so we move on. And then there's Mason Burnett, who I think has a fun arsenal with like a cut 4 seamer, but then pitches that move a lot and not bad velocity, but he's part of the Athletics, and this was not good command. And it was 2.2 innings of 6 runs, 7 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks, as I gave a reference to Justin Mason inside of my roundup. And boy, I wonder if he's going to listen to this podcast or read the roundup and send me a text. That would be lovely. What a nice guy. All right, that is it for today. Remember, go check out the pro dashboard here at PitcherList, and the baseball dashboard itself, Nick's pitcher dashboard, is now available. Enjoy it, guys. Seriously, it is such an unbelievable tool. I'm so excited to get this in your hands for you guys to mess around with. Share it. Ask all the questions. Ask for the upgrades. All of it. It is such a fun thing. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.